to be able to hear your word. And I just pray, God, give Stephen the wisdom and the words to give to us, Lord, and to help our hearts to receive them, Lord. And just say, we pray.
Brother Ryan, would you also pray that God just settle in?
Our Father in heaven, Lord, it's good that you brought us here this evening for this Bible study. And whatever it is that you put on Stephen's heart and mind, God, I pray that you calm him. Give him that laser focus, God, that he needs to deliver your message exactly as you would have it done. God, I pray that you would have liberty and that you would give him liberty and that it would abound this evening in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. I love to give opening comments, so let me open with comments. Was Ricky up here today?
No, it was cloudy. Audie kept texting me, what's the weather like now? What's the sky look now? I'm like, it's still cloudy, I'm sorry. So,
yeah. I wondered if he'd be here. Over this past weekend, it was a joy to me to see my brother get married. And a joy to me to see him do it the right way. And it was a great honor that he did to my parents and to God that he did that. And it was a great honor for her to have done it in the same fashion. And that was wonderful. But I'll tell you, I was hindered during some of that. And I'll just confess some faults. Why? Because I really loved myself throughout it. And I came down there into Pennsylvania and just in love with my own self. And Pastor Vernon had preached. And you know what? He could not have hit me more directly on the chin from start to finish. And I thought, that's right. I heard the preaching. I thought, that is right. I even leaned over to my wife and said, you got me. But I did not repent. I did not. Because I left there and continued that exact same pattern. And came into church on Sunday. So much, I literally didn't even want to go to church. I did not want to on Sunday. And came into the house of God. And I thank God for the man of God to preach what is right. Because he picked up right where he left off. And got me in exactly the same in the same place, and God granted me repentance then. He gave it to me. And it was pretty hard to come out of there because of such how being such a hypocrite. It was almost hard to rejoice. Because I thought, I am literally such a hypocrite, but what can I do but say amen to this? And as we drove home, I didn't even want to take Peter home. I was so grieved in my own spirit because I just loved myself so much. But God gave me repentance, and then he began to put these couple of verses in my heart as I thought about how with repentance, there's restoration with God. And I'll just read out of Hebrews chapter 4. And it says in verse 12, famous verse, that was a confession, by the way. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there, it's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 now. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And I'd say that him with whom we have to do is the Lord Jesus Christ. All things are naked and open unto him. And in fact, he is the Word of God. It says that, calls him that in Revelation. And he's the Word, but it calls him the whole title, the Word of God. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So I consider all this, and then I consider and say, I have a great high priest. And it is Jesus, the Son of God. And you know what? I was down in the room this past Thursday, and I had preached to the men of our men's group. And I'd asked some of them, is Jesus your Savior? And it was a trick question. It was. I meant to get them. And I took them to a voice that said, he is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. Meaning, present tense, Jesus Christ is the Savior of every single person in this room. He is the Savior of all men. Whether you believe him or not, but he's especially your Savior to those that believe him. But I'll tell you another thing. He is also the high priest of all men. He is their high priest. And what's the difference? Well, to one, they believe him, and they have that relationship back and forth because they believe him. And to another, they don't esteem him as anything, and they don't have that relationship. So it's seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. In fact, if you ever had truly confessed that in your heart, you would be saved. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In another place it said, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus Christ was manifested and made visible, and even right now is being made visible to you through the scriptures by the word of God, to take away your sins. That's what he's being manifested for. But verse 16 was the glorious and most wonderful verse to me. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now, did he say that to the saint alone? Let us boldly therefore come unto the throne of grace, or to whomsoever would hear it? He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And just based upon my own personal experience, because I'm me and I'm not you, it's a wonderful thing when you're in the depths of the lowest condition. I'll just say this. You know, there's that song that they sing down at Faith Baptist camps. I'm so glad I got lost so that I could be saved. And I'm so glad I could see myself as a wretched, awful sinner before God. I'm so glad that I could see myself in the lowest of the low that I am. I'm so glad that I could see the awfulness of my own condition, even as a saint of God, how low and how awful that I am, that I might see the righteousness of God, and I might read such a verse and understand that I have access unto the throne of grace. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That's not to say that you need to come timidly and you need to whisper to him and say, I need grace. Nope. You can come up to the throne of grace and cry out, I need mercy. I need mercy before God. Amen. What do you need? Well, many men think that they need this thing or that thing, but I'm quite sure we all have one need of one thing, and that's the mercy of God. And we also need grace to help in time of need. Mm-hmm. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that we may obtain mercy, that you may obtain mercy. That's what you have need of. You may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Chapter 5 says this, he said, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man that taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. I believe I'm getting off track with God. I don't want to do that. Father, will you pray?
Father, I do pray. Help Stephen now to have a firm mind of what you once said, to follow your leading. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
So we see this. He said to come before, you might think I'm getting hung up on one verse, and it seems that I am. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace. Boldly. God wants you to come before him boldly.
Yeah.
To come before him and find grace to help in time of need. To come before him and ask for mercy. When? At what point can you come before him? At any point. Right now you may come before him. There is nothing hindering that you might not, well, I have this sin. I don't quite feel so low enough that I ought to feel. Who taught you that? What is teaching you that there is some condition that you need to find some other thing in order to come before God? You need to come before God boldly before the throne of grace because you have an high priest, which is Jesus Christ. He was ordained of God the Father to come and be such an high priest. He said, for thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek in Psalm 110. I'll look at that. I believe it's Psalm 110. Could be wrong. It is. Psalm 110, verse 4 says this. He's prophesying. He said in Psalm 110 and verse 4, he said, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. But God the Father anointed and spake and declared and swore by an oath unto Jesus Christ that he would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He is therefore that high priest. He is by the order of God, by the commandment of God. And why cannot you approach unto him? What is it that makes it so that you cannot come before him? Would one of you look up a verse, and I'm not sure where it is. It's in Acts, and it's speaking, and he said, and we can have all manner of sins forgiven us, which we couldn't have had under the law of Moses. And I don't remember where that's at or how it's worded. It's one of the apostles, I believe, preaching, and he's speaking of Jesus Christ and says that all that things we couldn't have had forgiven, we can under him.
Acts 13:39.
That was right in my notes here. What is it about Jesus Christ that we believe? Why do we declare him to be the Savior? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is my Savior, that he is the Savior of all men, because the Word of God hath declared it. And I know also that God has ordained preaching, and he's called preachers to preach this word of God. And in doing so, he's declared unto them to preach the word of God, and he's given men ears that they might hear. But also asks the question, he that had ears, he asked who had ears to hear? Let him hear. And he said also in another passage, he said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that God has ordained it so that a man would preach the word of God, and that men are listening, and that they have a choice whether or not to hear those things that were said. And you can play the fool, as I did on Saturday. And you can hear a message, and you can acknowledge that this is right. This is just. This condemnation of me is so. It is right what is being said, and yet have no repentance. Yet not have heard it as God would have you to hear it. Because there's no change of mind. There's no will to do anything different. In fact, he spake in John, and he said, concerning why men don't come to the light, he said, they don't want to because their deeds are evil. They hate the light. So that at any point, when you refuse to come out of sin, when you refuse to have the view that God has of sin, and you see the sin in yourself, and you refuse to change in that, you think, well, I have not the power to change. Oh, I believe that God's given you the power. He said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Mm-hmm. He said that. So that man says, I have not the power to change. But truly, in the depths of their heart, there is no will to change. Yeah. You say, what must I do? I found track. What must I do concerning that? Well, I would say that you might want to look at Hebrews chapter 4, down there at the end, when he said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, something that you have not obtained, but that you may obtain at any point, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is that grace? Well, Brother Ray Nagel preached it really well. I've heard many times people say grace is unmerited favor. I do not disagree with that, but I loved what he had to say when he said, what is grace? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? And I wonder, is God for you? Is God for you? Indeed, he is for you. He's very for you. For it said in another place, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who is that, that he's willing that should come to repentance? Well, I spake to a co-worker today, and as I was praying, as I was driving in, I was praying concerning how I ought to speak to him as a man that just lost his dog and spent ridiculous money trying to get that dog fixed. And that man scoffs. He's such a scorner. He don't care nothing about the word of God. And I thought, how can I say words that might affect him? You know what? God is willing that that man should repent. And that man, I know some because he's not quiet about what goes on in his life. That man is a wicked man. That man is a wicked man. But I know the word of God also says, declaring unto the saints in another place, said, and such were some of you. See, but some of us believe a certain lie. The devil has slipped us one, and indeed I swallowed this one for years. I remember sitting back in this room and talking to my father, confessing some things I thought I couldn't have forgiveness for. I didn't think that there was forgiveness for me. Yet I finally just thought, I'll just confess these. Now, I have no doubt that was wounding to my father. But there was forgiveness. Where? He said in this. He said in Acts 13, says, verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, who is that man? I speak unto you and plainly declare unto you that I am talking about the Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. Not the Jesus Christ of your opinions, nor your thoughts. The Jesus Christ of the scriptures and those things that he has said and those things that he has fulfilled, that which he hath done, that only we do know by the scriptures and nothing else. That man, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So that by Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. You say, how could you say that so plainly? And yet some would not believe because they do not believe that through Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. And that's evident in that they stay in the heaviness and they stay in the agony and the depression of the sins. And they say there, but I, you know what? He said in another place, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience? How, where's that verse? Do you know where someone know where that verse is? I don't want to misquote it.
Hebrews 10.
I just want to read it.
How much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
There it is. What verse?
9:14.
He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So that God had a purpose in forgiveness of sins for you, that he might purge your conscience from dead works, that you might not sit under the load and the weight of the agony of your own sins. And I'll give you a moment. But that you might not sit under the weight and the load of those sins, but that you might find forgiveness and you might have your conscience clean so that you do not have to sit under the weight of those sins. I do not sit under the load and the weight and the agony of the sins that are behind me. In fact, I do not sit under the load and the weight of the sins that I had just 2 days ago. I do not sit under the load of them. Why? I have to disbelieve the scriptures to sit under them. I have to say, no, I think God's lying. But we'll clean that up and say, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Nope. The plainer way to say it is, here, say it for your heart, though. I just don't believe that that's true. I just don't believe it. But Acts 13 and verse 39, he said, well, I'll read 38 again. Acts 13 and verse 38. He said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through him, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful message. Isn't it right to call that the gospel? It's good news that through Jesus Christ is preached forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. That covers a lot. Thank God for that, because I've never had forgiveness except for these words. He said, which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Why? Because I was absolutely damned by the law of Moses. There was not forgiveness for me. I could not have lived. There was no justification that I might live. I was damned under that law. There was nothing. But I'm not preaching bad news. I'm preaching really good news, except to them that believe not. He said, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I'll just keep reading because I think that's a good beware. Beware, therefore, lest there come upon you that which is spoken of in the prophets. Why? He prophesied also of this generation and of that generation and of every generation, because this has come upon all generations. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And what has God done? He's raised up unto you preachers, and he's delivered people in your sight, and he's saved people by the grace of God, and had men preach the word of God, the faith of God coming unto you, and though it's plainly declared, some believe it not. And what did God have to say about him? He said, behold, ye despisers. Ye despisers. And I like to say nice words because I do like you. And I would like to say kind and good and nice things. But when I speak by the mouth of God, I can but say, ye despisers that believe not God. For ye hear the word of God and reject it. Reject it. But I wasn't sent here to crush you. I was sent here to preach Hebrews chapter 4. Said, what then can we do? What then can we do? Did you know that there is nothing that you cannot bring before the throne of grace? There's no thought of your heart that you cannot bring before the throne of grace. What is such a throne of grace? Well, I'd say if you're going before the throne of grace, you're going before a throne of God for you. And who can be against you? Who can be against you? There is not anyone that can separate you from that throne of grace. You can come, well, you can stop yourself at any time. We like to blame the devil, and Josh, I'm just thinking of our conversation. We like to blame the devil and say, devil's just, I mean, he's just deceiving me. He's just deceiving me. And like, it's all the devil's part, all the devil's heart. But you know what? Your heart is deceitful above all things, even the devil, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is separating you from God. Your heart sees the way out. Your heart sees the throne of grace and says, nope, I do not believe that. You know what? I was thinking, and I said it down there on Thursday night, and it's a thought that comes across my heart from time to time, and one that I've considered, and I thought, is there any sin so great as the sin of unbelief? Is there any sin so mountainous, so large, so big, so wicked, so vile as to separate us more from God than unbelief? What sin is greater than the sin of unbelief? In that all the sins that the children of Israel did, what was their great downfall? They did it, and they did not enter into the rest of God because of unbelief. They might find forgiveness for all things, but they just did not, because they just did not believe God. There's the greatest sin between them, and yet we'll just look at that sin of unbelief, and it's just not that big of a deal. I mean, I just don't believe you. God will damn you. God hates unbelief. God hates your unbelief. God hates it. And he said, unbelievers are going to be in the lake of fire. Liars are going to be in the lake of fire. But you know what? I wonder if you could come before the throne of grace and confess your unbelief. I wonder if you could come before the throne of grace and say, God, I don't believe you. I wonder if you could begin to feel pretty bad about the fact that you don't believe God. I wonder if you could come before God and honestly confess your unbelief as God sees it. And how would you do that? Well, you might have to labor and look in the Word of God about what God says about unbelief. Say, that's works. Well, you do whatever you need to do. I'm just telling you, you might want to confess that to God. You might want to speak with Him and find forgiveness before God.
Right.
I found great deliverance, even as a saint of God, confessing the great sin of unbelief.
Yep.
The great and wicked and vile thing before God. Well, man, a woman that has an abortion, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. That's awful. That's a great sin. Your unbelief's worse.
Yep. Yep.
It's worse.
Yeah.
Why? It's separating you from God. You can't get to Him. You can't get to Him because you don't believe Him.
It's good.
I wonder how long it will be before you actually go to God about that. I think you're really stuck on that. Yeah, I wonder how long it will be. I wonder how long it will be ere that you take the words of God seriously. I can't because I don't believe. I wonder how long it will be ere you take the words of God seriously and that you'll come before the throne of grace timidly. And I don't care if you do it timidly or not, but you better do it boldly. Come before God. How would you do it boldly? Well, you take God at His word in that He told you to come before the throne of grace boldly, because we have such an high priest, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, and that we can come before Him, whom God has ordained, that you could receive forgiveness of sins, all sins, anything,
yeah,
of which you could not have been forgiven by the law of Moses, but which you now can be forgiven by, but you won't do it because I just don't believe. I just don't believe. Or, who knows? Who cares what you believe? You believe literally anything but the Word of God.
Yeah.
Say, that's very harsh. I speak against myself. See, a fool has many things they believe. And as I was bringing up our conversation again, I remembered all the different things and all the different iterations of things that I believed why I couldn't get saved.
Yeah.
And there were just an endless number of them. Oh, I'd get over one because a man would preach and I'd realize, all right, that is wrong. Okay. But the devil would give me another one instantly. Or my heart. Give me another one instantly. Yeah, but this is why that you aren't saved. It never ever came down to because I didn't believe God. I could say, yeah, it's because I don't believe God. Because I'm not trying hard enough. I could say that, but I would just immediately actually attribute it to something else in my heart. The great folly of the sinners that they just will not come before God with their unbelief. I just don't believe you.
Yeah.
I just don't believe you. And then what do they not do? They will not take God at his word and come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. To obtain it. Something that he's very willing to give out. Time after time after time does God speak about mercy and say that he's very willing. He's very merciful. He wants to give that out. An account that the long-suffering of God is salvation. And he's waiting and he long-suffers you and he waits you and he has the word of God declaring how often that he would have poured out grace upon you and poured out mercy upon you. But you will not come before him. You will not come before him. And if you do come before him, you just say lies and light prayers. Little things. God, I didn't read my Bible enough today. I'm sorry. I don't know what you pray. I have no idea what you pray. But if you've not found God, you've not found him. You've not found him. You know what Psalm 51 says? Psalm 51. Look at that. Here's another one. Came to my mind. Another one. You don't understand the nature of my sins. You don't understand the nature of them. I've done this, such and such, against this and that person. I've done this or that. And your heart says those things because it doesn't want to go to God. So it puts the blame upon, well, really, I actually need to ask forgiveness for this person. And then I can go to God. But here's what David said. He said in verse 1 of Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according... You know what he went right off the bat with there? He went up to the throne of grace and said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You know, he wasn't even supposed to be able to find forgiveness for what he had sinned. There was no sacrifice for it. He wasn't even supposed to, yet he still did. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Why say that? That thou mightest be justified. We like to say, I need forgiveness from such and such. And it may be that you do need forgiveness for such and such. But you're not going to go to hell because you needed forgiveness from such and such, from such and such a person. You are going to go to hell because you did not obtain forgiveness from Jesus Christ. You did not obtain forgiveness for where you'd sinned against God. You know, just as a folly in my own brain. I won't go there. You will not obtain forgiveness from God. Who have you sinned against? Have you sinned against people? Are your wrongs against people? You know, over the past few days, I certainly did wrong people. I did do that. And I did need their forgiveness. But that meant nothing to me. In my heart, I realized I've got another relationship that I've torched here. Yeah. I've got another relationship that I've torched here. And I bowed my head and begged forgiveness from my God that he might forgive me. And when I obtained mercy from him, and when he began to put the word of God back into my heart, and the verses concerning forgiveness and concerning those things that he puts in the heart of a person began to flow in my heart, it's very easy for me to ask forgiveness. It's very easy for me to be light after that, because I've obtained mercy from God. That's where you need the mercy from. You need mercy from God. It is not against other people that you have sinned. You've sinned against God. I don't care what you've done. It may be that you've murdered someone and there's a body hid out in the woods and you think, I cannot have forgiveness. You don't understand. I need to go to the police. You need to go to God. You need to go to God. That is who you need to go to. He might make you go to the police. But you need to go to God. Romans chapter 3. Says this in verse 23. Says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We recognize that. That's one of the verses we all say, yep, got it. I hope we all say that. We may not. Said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can acknowledge we're all sinners here. Amen. We're all sinners. Most of our sins aren't that bad, though. Said, we're all sinners. So he said, going on still farther here, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You will obtain grace to help in time of need from Christ Jesus, whom, verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. God put Jesus Christ forth. And he said, this man. And he anointed him. And he declared him to be a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he made him to be so. And he said, this man, him, through faith in him, men will forgive forgiveness of sins. And he's saying, God had faith in that when Jesus, in Jesus Christ's blood, that it was sufficient to pardon your sins, so that he made Jesus Christ to be that place that you should bring your sins to. So I wonder, and just ask as a foolish question, really, where ought you to bring your sins? Who ought you to be talking to about them? Why would you bring anything else to him? Why would you be talking to God about other things? Why would you not say, oh, it's something deeper. It's some, you just, I bet it's your unbelief. Yeah. I bet it's your unbelief.
Yep.
Verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Say, that God is right to forgive sins because he has faith in that blood, and that faith is a righteous thing, and it is the righteousness of God without the law. And that faith, he has such faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that it is sufficient to pardon your sins. And in pardoning your sins, in forgiving them, he is righteous. And he's doing that, and he's declaring, I'm righteous for doing this. Says, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. God is showing you that he is righteous. He says, how could God be righteous to forgive my sins? Because you've sinned against him and not against other people. If you've sinned against other people, then is your sin against him or other people? Do you need forgiveness from other people to be saved? Or do you need forgiveness from God to be saved? If God's forgiving you for what your sin is against other people. Well, is that his place to do? Nope, that's why David said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Said, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. So that the only thing that you're going to come before God with is you're going to come before him and believe him. And how could you do that? Well, I say, as I said in the start, God ordained preachers to preach the word of God. And they preach the word of God, and men hear the word of God, and they choose whether or not to believe that these things are so. Yep. And you know what? I got Tim saying, and you know what? It's hilarious to me. It's up to you whether or not you believe me. That's fine. Don't believe me. Believe the word of God. But some are too slothful to ever look into it. They'll hear the words and say, I don't know. But they'll never, ever, ever look into it. They'll never actually try. They'll just hear the words and just go on doing whatever it is they were already doing. How have I shaken my fist in the face of God? How have I done that, as Pastor Vernon said, spit in the face of God? How have I done that? Well, you've heard and you've despised the word of God and thought, no, that's not quite right. And how is that shown? Through your actions, through your thoughts, through what you do. Yeah. You prove it day by day by day by day by day by day. Every day you prove it. Nope, I despise the word of God. Nope, not doing that. Nope, I'm not going to believe God. I wouldn't shake my head like that at God. You might as well. You might want to just start trying it. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And that goes back to verse 21 in the same chapter. He said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, so that both the law and the prophets witnessed the righteousness of God without the law. He said, even the righteousness of God. So what is this great righteousness that God has? Well, it's the same faith that I've been talking about. It says, even which is by faith. Faith of Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness of God. By faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. That believe. For there is no difference. And we just don't believe him. We go on still, and I could go to other verses and explain why that's so, but I came here with one verse, really, and I'll just finish with it. It's that same verse I started, Hebrews 4. I came here with one verse. I don't care how low your estate is. I don't care how much of a hater of God that you are. God's not worried about how far that you are from him. It's your differences and your disagreements with God's. He's not all beat up about that. You're nothing in the sight of God. You are as nothing. Your life is as grass and it's just going to go away and it's just a puff of steam in the air. It's as nothing. But he's established a place that you could come to. He has made Jesus Christ the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So that you can come to Jesus Christ. You can come before him. And he said here, in this last verse, he said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is open for you.
Amen.
That is open for every single person in here constantly.
Yep.
Amen. That's all I had.
It was good. Closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us have such a thing in our church, my God. And I thank you for the events of this day. My God, you've been very good to me. You've been very good to really every single person here. And you've been good to the whole world. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.